Hey there, this is Emily Hoover, and we are so glad that you are listening to the Mission Point Community Church podcast. It's our prayer that this helps you grow in your relationship with Jesus and encourages you to show and share the love of Jesus everywhere you go. Thanks for tuning in. Now let's dive into the message.
This morning, I have the privilege of continuing a conversation we started last week that we have very provocatively entitled, Stop Going to Church, Start Engaging It. And man, this is a conversation that we're excited about. It's an invitation to see and to serve the church the way Jesus Christ sees and serves the church. And in a room this size, there's a bunch of us with a bunch of different experiences when it comes to the church, how we've experienced the church, what we think about the church, our view of the church, how we engage the church. And this is an invitation to just learn to see the church and to serve the church the way Jesus sees and serves the church. And if you've been around Mission Point for any amount of time, you found it. Thank you so much, Emily Freed, just serving the church. But if you've been around Mission Point for any amount of time, then this is one of those foundational conversations that we'll return to on a regular basis because of how significant we believe that it is. If you're a guest to Mission Point, some of the things that we will share or invite you to may seem a little bit forward, but I trust that in the context of what the Word of God says, that it will make some sense to you. Engage the church. Don't just attend church. Now, concerts and conferences, those are fine to attend. And then when you're done, you leave the event, right? And then you evaluate the event. Was it worth our money? Is it something that we'll come back to? Did we like it enough? And if we do, we'll go back. If we don't, we'll go to a different event. That's how you treat events, but not so the Church of Jesus Christ. The Church of Jesus is so central and significant to Jesus, it can never be something that we treat lightly or as a peripheral afterthought or something we engage casually, not in light of the way Jesus thinks about his church. If you read the Bible, that's hard to miss. If you study the New Testament, it is impossible to miss how significant the Church of Jesus is. If nothing else, just by virtue of the metaphors that are used to describe the church. If you've grown up around the church, these will sound familiar to you. If you are newer to the church, these might even sound a little bit odd. But when the Bible speaks about the church, it uses different pictures, different metaphors, and all of them are intended to convey something of the way Jesus thinks about his church. For instance, let me give you a few examples. Number one, the Bible refers to the church as the body of Christ. If you've heard that, have you ever just thought about that imagery? The church is the body of Christ. Jesus is the head. The church is his body. Just think about that for a moment. Meaning whatever Jesus Christ wants to do in the world, he is going to primarily do through his body. That's what you do with yours. Your body is the way that you show up and get things done in the world. And it's the same with the church. When the Bible speaks about the church, it speaks about Jesus as the head, and the church is the way he shows up and gets things done in the world. Nothing against your personal career path. Nothing against your personal sense of purpose, but I am telling you, you will never accomplish the greatest purposes of God in the world disconnected from his body. In fact, if you read 1 Corinthians chapter 12, it's making that argument. Like one part is saying, I don't need you, and another part is saying, I don't need you. And it's like, oh no, we are all body, need each other, and we are the way Jesus shows up in the world, the way Jesus gets things done in the world, the body of Christ. The church is sometimes referred to as the household of Christ. He's not just the head of a body, he's the head of the house. He's the head of his family called the church. Because the church is more than just a group of people who get together occasionally. The church is a forever family that is fused and joined together organically. When you put your faith in Jesus Christ, I don't know if you knew this, but you don't become a church goer. You become a family member. You become a part of the household of Jesus. You become a part of his family. That is a powerfully profound picture. Because it means you can skip services if you want. You're still a part of the church. Maybe just an absentee family member, maybe just a long distance family member, but you're still a part of the family, because it's not the attending a service that makes you a part of his forever family. It is your connection to Jesus by faith. You can skip dinners at home. You're still a part of the family. I have a daughter. She's 18 years old. She has not been to a family dinner like in 4 weeks on account of she's now in college. So that makes that a little more complicated. Still firmly a part of the Simfukwe family and household. Speaking of, I skipped a few Mission Point family dinners the last few weeks. I missed Food Truck Sunday last week. Heard it was pretty epic. I wasn't here. That does not make me any less a part of the church family. And we'll see here in a moment, just like some of y'all, you can go to every family dinner and still be a guest. It is our faith in the person of Jesus Christ that makes us a part of his family. Now, the Bible refers to the church as the bride of Christ. The bride of Christ. What an image. The church is Jesus's wife. That's a powerful picture. Jesus considers himself one with the church. Ephesians chapter 5. Flesh of my flesh, bone of my bone. Inseparably fused to his love, the church. He loves his bride. By the way, he loves her in all of her brokenness, her messiness, and her imperfections so much that he served her to the point of death to see her become everything that he designed and desired her to be. He loves his church, and he serves her with his blood. He is crazy about her. And I'm just saying, imagine me showing up to the church and I'm like, I appreciate that you serve her with your blood. I'll show up when it's convenient. And I'll be very casual about the way I engage the church. It's tricky to be casual about something Jesus is that passionate about if I am his follower. Or imagine me showing up and saying, all right, listen, I am into Jesus. Jesus I love, but his church, no thank you very much. I mean, if you said that to me, it's like, you're cool, but your wife, not so much. We would have an issue. Especially if you say to Jesus, like, we love you, but your church not so much, because she's broken and she's messy and she has been known to hurt people on occasion. You, like, as if we're announcing something to Jesus he did not know when he laid his life down for the bride. He loves his church in all of her brokenness and her imperfection. For me to show up and be like, I'll take Jesus, but not his love. That would be weird. And it would miss some of the beauty of the way the Bible describes the church. In this series, we're just saying, you are part of something special. What does it look like to live like it? Stop going to church. Start being the church. Start embracing the church. Start engaging the church. Start seeing and serving the church the way Jesus Christ sees and serves his church. In all of her brokenness, which is one of the reasons we actually serve the church. And this morning, we want to ask the question, are you playing your part? Are you playing your family role in serving the church? Are you doing like Jesus and serving his bride to help her become everything that she was created to be? Not because she's deserving of it, not because she always gets everything right, not because she's perfect, but because he loves her and calls her his, because he's fixing to come back, and he's not going to be coming back for any other organization or any other movement except his church, the bride. Are you playing your part in preparing her for that day? Or are you just showing up for dinners on occasion? More specifically, you're just showing up for dinner to go. I just came to get something to eat, and then just asking, if you're a Christian, you were created and called to serve the church. Are you doing that? We're going to look at a section of scripture in Ephesians chapter 4. We'll start at verse 7. If you don't have a copy of the Bible, we would love to get you a physical copy. You can stop by the connection corner. You can stop by guest services. I like to say, if you find a Bible lying around without a name in it, just take it. It's yours. Okay, maybe not that last part, but we would love to get a Bible into your hand, our gift to you. Okay, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 7. We're going to read sections, and then we'll make observations, and then we'll keep going. And just for the record, this is a very practical conversation. And I trust that a practical conversation will yield to practical questions and a practical opportunity to respond. But to each one of us, a grace has been given as Christ apportioned it. To each one of us, grace has been given as Christ apportioned it. Okay, announcement number one. You may never have heard this before. You have a gift. You have a gift. If you're a follower of Jesus Christ, if you've put your faith in him for the forgiveness of your sin, Jesus has given you a gift. The word grace here in this verse is translated a grace gift. A grace gift. If you're a Christian, Jesus has given you a unique ability to help his church soar. You have a gift. Jesus Christ, the creator of the world, designed you and then designed the perfect gift for you to accomplish his purposes through you. And then he deposited that gift in you. As you are sitting here right now, there is a gift designed perfectly by Jesus, perfectly for you, that lives on the inside of you. Now, I'm not saying it's just one gift. It could be more than that, but there's at least one of these things resident in you. It may not have been the gift you would have chosen if you were choosing off a list of gifts, but it's the one Jesus chose perfectly for you, and he doesn't get things wrong ever. You have a gift. You woke up this morning just gifted. In fact, I dare you to tell the person next to you, I'm gifted. Like, just tell them, whether you know them or not. It's a great way to get to know people. Just tell them, I'm gifted. Let them know. Announce it. Look them in their cornea. Make them feel awkward. Woo! That is so good for some of you to say, because you may never have heard those words spoken over you. Maybe no one has ever said that about you in the athletic arena, in the academic arena. And maybe you've never heard it from the people who were called to nurture and speak life over you. And then here comes Paul making this declaration, this announcement to you. You are so gifted. may not be the kind of gift that gets you picked first on the playground. It may not be the kind of gift that makes you super Instagrammable. I don't know. It may not be one of the hip and trending gifts in our cultural context, but it is the perfect gift from Jesus to you for the purposes he's called you to accomplish as part of his church in the world. You're not just gifted. You are perfectly gifted by Jesus. In fact, now I dare you to look at the other person, not the one you chose before, but your second choice, and just tell them you are gifted. Just let them know. It may be awkward, but tell them nonetheless. Tell them you are gifted. I love it. Somebody was like, y'all are gifted. Like, just made it very plural. Man, you came to church to be reminded about a truth that may never have been spoken over you. And that is so good for some of you to hear who maybe are naturally compliment proof. So good to hear for some of you who are naturally prone to focus on the things that are wrong and broken about you. Remember that time you went to church and somebody spoke God's truth over you and reminded you, you are so gifted. Look at you with your gifted self. Because this is what Paul says about every single person who's a follower of Jesus. Matter of fact, you have a grace gift. It's not just that you have a gift. You have a grace gift. I don't know about you, but I love the fact that this word that Paul uses is translated grace gift. It's so good for those of you who maybe have some shady, sordid past sin. You just know that you're not spiritual enough to have a spiritual gift. It's like it's a grace gift. I'm sorry. For those of you who feel like my life is full of so many mistakes, there's no way that Jesus would consider gifting me in light of what I've done. Well, thankfully, it has nothing to do with what you've done. It's a grace gift. By definition, it is unearned, unmerited, Jesus gifting you just because he wanted to. If you had done something to earn it, it would be a reward. It would be a payment. But the word he uses is it is a grace gift. I love that. For some of you who are convinced you've been just too naughty in your life to be included in this gifted and talented community called the church. Verse 7, again, it says, but to each one of us, a grace gift has been given as Christ determined it. I'm sorry, but each one means you. Verse doesn't care about who you are, what you've done, where you've been. Doesn't care about your opinion or your sense of self-worth. It is making a declaration from heaven's vantage point, declaring what is most true about you. Not about how you feel about it, not about whether you like it or not, whether you feel you deserve it or not. It is a grace gift imposed on you by a gracious Savior. You are so gifted because Jesus chose to gift you. But then Paul takes it a step further. Not only is your gift a grace gift, it's a super grace gift. You have a super grace gift. The gift inside you is literally a superpower. And if you study the scriptures, you will learn that very, very quickly. Because the church is a family of superheroes. If you ever just think about the fact that the Holy Spirit lives inside you, that should just settle everything about you being remotely close to ordinary. This is a super grace gift. One of the reasons to me I'm convinced of it is because what Paul says next, verse 8, this is what he says. He says, this is why it says, when he, Jesus, ascended on high, he took many captives and gave gifts to his people. Whew. And then he gives up some back context. He says, now what does he ascended mean except that he also descended to the lower earthly regions? He who descended is the very one who also ascended higher than all the heavens in order to fill the whole universe. Woo, preach, Paul. That's so good. Paul often makes these really complicated statements that are hard to follow, but man, this is a good one. He's saying Jesus is seated in the heavenly realms. And Jesus, who is God and the creator of the universe, and he left heaven and he clothed himself with humanity and he came into our world, into these lower earthly regions. And while he was here, he defeated sin and he defeated death and he defeated Satan. And then he rose from the dead. And the picture painted is when he rose from the dead, he unshackled a bunch of us sinful people who were held captive in slavery, and he set us free. And then it's almost like he took us on this parade to just brag to the heavenly realms of the demonic forces, look at what I have done. I have defeated sin, I've defeated Satan, I've defeated death, and I've set these captives free. Check them out. And then he went back to heaven and he sat victoriously on the throne. And when he got there, the Bible says he then poured out gifts on his church. And what I find so super striking is that Paul puts all of that stuff in the same breath. Almost as if to say, Jesus defeats sin, defeats Satan, defeat death, check. Give gifts to your church, check. The purposes for which Jesus undid the work of the devil and the purposes for which he gave his gifts to the church are similar, so that he would fill the earth with his glory. Well, how? You're sitting in heaven. Yeah, but through my church, I'm going to carry on the work that I did of undoing the work of the enemy and making much of the glory of my Father. I love the fact that it's not just a gift that he's given you. It's a gift that he's given you to help carry out his purposes of making his glory known in the world. It's not just a thing you carry around. It is a superpower. And I love the fact that Paul connects Jesus' victorious work in the cross and in the empty grave to the gift that I carry inside of me. I'm just saying, whatever gift he has given you, it's part of his plan to fill the world. There is nothing ordinary about you. There is nothing ordinary about that gift. You have a super power. Okay. Then what happens with superpowers? He says in verse 11, so Christ himself, he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and the teachers to equip his church, his people, for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Oof. Sit with that. Verse 14, then we will no longer be infants tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of people in the deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head, that is Christ. I love that picture of growing up into the full measure of all that Christ is. Like, that's possible for us as a church. That's crazy, first of all. But I've got to pause before that and make an observation that many of you have heard us make over the years about church leadership, because that's what Paul talks about in this section of scripture, right? When Jesus created the church, he made sure to place people in positions of leadership in and over the church. That's important because, hot take here, I realize, but you can't technically even have a church without leadership installed and put into place. If it's going to be called a church, it requires leaders that have been put into place. Otherwise, it may be a growth group. Otherwise, it may be like a group of Christians getting together, but it is not necessarily a church. And when the word church is used, it implies that there are leaders put into positions over that particular church. But here's the more important thing, that the significance of leadership in the church is not about status, and it is not about superiority. I don't know if you noticed Paul's summary of the job description of the leaders that Jesus gives to the church. Y'all have a job, and your job is to prepare God's people for works of service. In other words, the job of a leader in the church is to uncover and unleash the super grace gifts that God has placed in his church and call people to engage them so that the world will be filled with the glory of who Jesus is. The job of leaders is to try and find and figure out the gifts that Jesus has put in his church and call them out of his people. And then put them in positions where they are using those gifts to carry out the purposes of Jesus so the church would thrive and become all that it was created to be. That is hugely significant. Church leadership is not about fancy titles or carrying more clout than the congregation. It is not about a group of people who stand, you know, on bigger stages under brighter lights somehow and are more important or more unique in the church. It is just about a group of people. Jesus has said, make sure my people understand what I've gifted them to do and invite them to do it. Leadership. Helping set people up to use their supernatural gifts. Man, as leaders, we are doing our best work when we are cultivating and calling out gifts that Jesus has put in his people. Finding excuses, getting out of the way, making room, giving people space to figure out their gifts and to use them. The minute we as church leaders, hear me out, fall in love with the trend of church culture, which is come to church and watch the professionals perform, which is come to church and just see the leaders do their jobs and see the staff do their work. The minute we fall in love with, oh man, a bunch of people came and they listened to us sing this week, or a bunch of people came and they listened to me talk. We had church. When we fall in love with that concept, we just become another event. And what you start to notice is people just start skipping from one event to the other. Like, oh, guys, I found a new event in town, and they perform at a higher level. Y'all should come and see them do their thing. And the leaders are like, well, we got to step up our performance so more people can come and watch us perform, and we can become a better performing church than that church. And the minute we fall in love with being a church that is full of people who perform and everybody else watches, we disintegrate into an event. And the devil ain't scared of no church event. And as leaders, we have to figure out, no, if our people aren't understanding what Jesus Christ has placed in them, and if we aren't calling them to use those gifts on a regular basis, we will never grow up into everything that he has called us to be, and we will not show up in the world the way Jesus calls us to show up. I know it may be your first time here at Mission Point. I want to pace myself, but you do need to know. We would be crazy to let you just come to church to take and take and take when you have a superpower to give. No. Now, we'll talk about this. There are seasons when some of y'all need to rest your superpower. We'll talk about that. But man, Mission Point will never be a consumer church. Mainly because the moment we become consumers, we cease to be the church. So, if you're looking for a church where you can just show up and only ever take some snack packs to go and sit on your superpower, we're going to annoy you, because we'll constantly be like, hey, oh man, sounds like you are gifted in this area. You should. And man, if we become a church that is like, we fall in love with ourselves as leaders and how cool we are and you know, how profound we are and the things that we have to say, whether or not the church is engaging, don't let us become that. In fact, if we become a church that is so bent on performing and doing all of the stuff, instead of calling you to do your stuff, I'm like, find a better church with better leaders where you're being equipped to actually engage the superpower gifts that Jesus has placed in you, because only then will a church grow. And if you have any questions about that, look at what Paul says, verse number 16. He says, from him, Jesus, the whole body, that's the church, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, no exceptions, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. Wow. Wow. From him, it says, the whole body, right? Jesus is the head. He is a source, and he is a source that supplies the church with everything it needs to thrive. I love that, by the way, because it means Mission Point Community Church has everything it needs to thrive. I love that thought. Jesus is the head, and he'll supply his church with everything that it needs to look like Jesus and to show up like Jesus in the world. We are fully supplied. And then he says, joined and held together by every supporting ligament. That's such an interesting phrase, this supporting ligament. That the idea, again, that we are deeply and organically fused. The language he's using is so significant. Ligaments. You can't just be like, I'm going to take my ligament and go home. Like, no, he's speaking about fusion, and it's a beautiful picture. Jesus is the head, and he sources his church with everything that it needs. But listen, my part carries some of those nutrients to your part, and your part carries some of those nutrients to the next part, because we're all organically connected. That's one of the reasons you will hear us beg you, get in a group. Get in a group. This is not a solo thing. No, it is one of the ways that we get to carry the nutrients of Jesus into the lives of the other parts in the body. If you're like, I just come to church, I do my thing, and I leave, and I do my thing. No, figure out how to express and experience being part of this organic movement, this family, this body called the church. You're a ligament. You carry something vital to someone else. Are you connected? Are you experiencing and expressing that? That's the beauty of this picture that he uses. And then it says, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. That's really the point I think we want to camp on today, that there's only one way we get to fully experience and express this supernatural supply. There's only one way we get to grow and become everything he's called us to be. There's only one way we get to turn our community upside down in the ways that Jesus has called us to. And that is when each part does its work. When each person uses their gift to engage the church. No exceptions. Jesus is like, I've worked into you everything you need, now work it out. And I'm telling you, we all want to be, every single one of us wants to be a part of a thriving church. The problem is, we all go to try and find a thriving church and become a part of it so we can take snacks to go. And the minute you do that, you actually threaten the thriving of that church. Because the church you're looking for is the church in which everybody is playing their part, including you. So what I'm telling you is you want to be a part of a church that you get to help become the kind of church that you want to be a part of. So my question is not, have you found a great church? My question is, are you playing your part in helping us to be the kind of church that the Bible calls us to be? Because we cannot be that church without you playing your part. So the question is, what are you doing? right? That's Paul's point. The church grows and builds itself up in love. How? As each part does its work. And our culture is now like, hey, man, I think I found a great church. Come with me. As long as you go and play your part there, that is fantastic. I came to announce we need you. We have dreams of what we believe Jesus has called us to be and to do as a church, but in order for that to happen, we need you. We need you to activate your superpower and serve the church. And if Mission Point is not your home church needs you. And if you don't have a home church, get you a home church. Amen. Otherwise, you are going to be that friend that is constantly couch surfing and mooching off everyone else's dinner plates. You're part of a family. You have chores. Stop eating and leaving. The church needs you. We need your superpower if we're going to become everything that Jesus Christ has called us to be. Let me speak to a few of you as we wrap. First, I want to speak to the group of you that may say, I hear you. You even sound relatively passionate about this. But I'm busy, bro. Okay. For those of you who are in the, like, I would serve, but I'm busy camp, I would just say, stop it. Stop it. And I would also say to you, without any apology or disclaimer, if you're too busy to use your gift to play your part in the church, then you are way too busy. But I'll tell you what doesn't get to go is you serving the church. Jesus gave you a gift with which to serve. Are you serving? Listen to me. When Jesus Christ returns and he asks you, what did you do with the talent I gave you? I promise you, well, I was too busy, so I buried it, will not be an acceptable response. Wait a minute, I gave you a church so that you could help my church thrive and be ready for my return and help carry out my purpose and my mission in the world, and you were too busy? What were you doing? Now, I also do want to say, serving the church does not necessarily mean that you're serving on a Sunday morning, right, with all of our ministries, because sometimes a church can do that, like, hey, we got to give a talk because we need more free labor, right? Like, no, it's not about the free labor in the church. Now, there are going to be areas of need for sure. In fact, I would suspect that the majority of us in this church are going to use our gifts to serve in a small group. That there'll be people in your group who are struggling, and your gift of encouragement will come to the surface and you will use it to serve. You may have practical gifts that can fix things that I tend to break, and you may use that to serve. And your group may say, hey, there's a person that connected to our work and they're struggling. Can we go and serve them together? Can we show up? And your gift will be activated in that context. It may not ever be on a stage. It may not be on a Sunday morning. It may be in a context in which you are experiencing and expressing being part of a family in a small group context. I'm not saying what it is, but what I am saying is Jesus died to serve his church, and when he returns, he's coming back for his church. For you to say, like, I'm too busy, tells me that you believe it's an event or it's a peripheral experience, not something central and significant in Jesus' economy. So, stop it. The question is, if you have a gift that he's given you and the church grows because of it, how are you using it? How are you using it? I want to speak to some of you who may say, like, I hear you, bro, but I'm tired. And to those of you, I'd say, for some of you, amen to that. You need to chill out. You spent so much time making up for the 80% in the church that doesn't do anything. And so instead of using your gift and serving with your gift, you know what you're doing? You're trying to fill every void that everyone else has left, and you're doing too much. And you're probably tired. Or you're using your gift, but there are ways it's supposed to be used with the help of other people and the other people, and so you're exhausted. And for some of you, I'm like, you need to rest. You need to take some time off. And Mission Point will always be a place that encourages Sabbath and resting and refreshing and recouping. Don't feel guilty because you had to say no. It actually maybe lets other people step into the roles that they're supposed to step into. And so thank you for those of you who serve, as Michael said. And for some of you, you're tired and you actually need to take a season to rest and recoup. For those of you who would say, I hear you, but I'm unsure. I don't know what my gift is. Great. We got you. What I would say to you, if you'd say, like, I have a superpower in me, woo, that's amazing, but I don't know what it is. I would say to you, well, try something. Start somewhere. Just serve. But I don't know what it is. Try something. Start somewhere. Just serve. I had no idea what my spiritual gift was in college, or gifts, or whatever. I did not know. And I was a student that would come to church, and at the end of the service, I would sneak out as fast as possible till one day somebody got me. Hey, how are you? You know, would you consider serving our students? And I'm like high school, middle school students? Like, sure, can I go now? Right? And I started to serve in that capacity. And would you consider serving on our worship team? And I started to serve in that capacity. And what starts to happen when you start somewhere and you try something is people will tell you very quickly. And people were so good with me. They told me right away, like, when you serve in this way, woo, don't ever do that again. And I learned. But when you do this, we've noticed that people seem encouraged. People seem blessed. I'm like, I didn't know that. It's not something I liked. It's not something I was good at in school. But when you do this, though, we sense movement of the nutrients of Jesus into other parts of the church. Do that more. And I started to discover my gifts, which led me into places where I started to discover God's calling on my life. And I started to serve in the church. And as I served in the church, people outside of the church said, you know, when you do this, we actually like it too. No offense to those of you college students who are trying to figure out your major, but I'm telling you, find your place in the church. Figure out the supernatural gift God has given you to change the world on Jesus' behalf, and I promise you, your sense of purpose will come in light of that. I know there's this movement to pursue my career path. Listen to me. It's His church that is transforming the world. It's His church that is going to return for. Figure out your place in the church. I'm talking to you, students. Figure out your place in the church, and the rest of it will start to make sense. Whether you end up in the business realm, you start to understand, like, I am an extension of the body out here. We sometimes act like, hey, go do your life and give your leftovers to the church. I'm like, mm-mm. Figure out what Jesus has designed you to be in His body and watch what it starts to do in the world around you. And if you're not sure, start somewhere. Matter of fact, at the end of this service, in the what's usually the mission corner, we're transforming it into morphed into the serving corner. I'm going to be out there with a number of other people and would love to invite you to stop by. And you may be the person who says, I actually know an area of giftedness that I'd like to serve in. And there's a variety of areas. You know, you may say, I want to serve with kids. I want to serve kids. And for some of you, you are like, please never serve in the kids area, right? But for some of you, that's the space for you to go and step into and serve and be a superhero in the life and the story of a child who 15 years from now will look back and say, it was that awkward college student who showed up once a month, every month, that loved on me, and I got to experience something of the nutrients of Jesus. For some of you, it's like our care ministry, our care teams, where you're like, I cannot sing, but I can cook. I will make a meal. And we may never even hear about it because you are making meals for people who are going through difficult times and they just don't have the strength to do it. For some of you, like, I love sitting with people who are going through difficult times, and I'm going to join with our Stephen ministry and figure out how I can serve in that capacity. For some of you, like, prayer, I want to pray for people. Send the list of people who need to be prayed for, and I'm going to just call down heaven on the devil's head on their behalf. That's my superpower. I love to pray fervently. For some of you, you may be like facilities. I have loved Jenga since I was a kid, and I've loved Tetris since I was a child. I love figuring out anything I can do to help set it up so that people can come and experience the person of Jesus Christ, and I don't even have to rock a baby. Like, I'm in. I will join the facilities team and use some of my strengths, my gifts, that way. And we would say, well, there's a space. Go sign up for that. Start somewhere or re-engage something. Or whether you're a greeter, like, I'm really friendly. I'm not Dan Davis friendly, but I'm still friendly, you know, and I'll be glad to make sure that people who are maybe suspicious of the church have a great first experience. And when they walk up to the door, it may be the first time in the week that they felt welcome and wanted. And I want to play that role. Good. Go use a superpower. Go make a difference in that realm. Maybe you're a tech person, right? Like, I want to make mics work, and I want to make things look a certain way, and so that the message of Jesus is carried and heard beautifully and meaningfully. That may be you. There's a space. We'll say, go sign up. Sign up. And for some of you, you'd be like, I don't know what it is, but I want to do something. There's even a miscellaneous page out there, where you're like, I'm not sure, but I know I want to do something. So can you guys help me figure out what that is? For some of you, it is like, I want to do something I feel so stirred to do, but I've never seen anyone ask about it in the church. That's one of our favorite things. Do you know how many ministries at Mission Point started because somebody said, it is so annoying to me that no one ever seems to do this. And I'm like, that may be you. That may be you. Instead of saying, like, it's not happening at the church, so I'm going to another church, like, maybe it's you. Some of you may have ideas about how to pray for people, how to minister to people that we've never thought of. Go sign up on the miscellaneous. Somebody said to me in the first service, like, what about the people who've been hurt by the church and are trying to come back to the church? Those are the people I feel called to. I'm like, sign up! That may be you. Start somewhere, try something. And you will discover the gift that God has given you. And as you use it, our church starts to thrive and we start to show up as Jesus in the world and for each other. And his glory gets to shine. The question is, are you playing your part? Are you willing to start playing it? Because we need you. Father, thank you so much for who you are. Jesus, thank you so much for gifting us so graciously, not because we deserve it, but because you are gracious and good. Thank you for including us in what you're doing in this world. Thank you for how much you love your church. Thank you for the price you paid so that we would be a part of your church. And thank you for the price you paid so that we would be gifted to partner with you in what you're doing in the world. So, Lord, we lay our agendas down. We lay our desires down. We lay our schedules down in order to figure out how do we get to serve alongside you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thanks so much for tuning into today's message. We hope to see you next Sunday. We would love to personally invite you to one of our services at 9 and 10:45 a.m. in the Performing Arts Center in Warsaw Community High School at One Tiger Lane in Warsaw, Indiana. If you've enjoyed this podcast, please make sure to subscribe, review, and connect with us on social media by following Mission Point CC. You can also contribute to what God is doing through Mission Point. Simply visit missionpoint.net/give and give a gift today. Thanks again for joining us. Have a great week.